Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing, the lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road. Well, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, you and me going fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows.
I love ringers, man. Were you practicing or are you good? You're that good, huh?
I do a lot of karaoke.
I don't doubt it, man. That was job well done, Joe. Thank you very much, man. That was a great opener.
You know, you booked me for birthday parties and all that.
I might just do that. Put it in the show notes. Get people to start ordering you to come in and start singing, which is great, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks for, first of all, reaching out to me. We've got mutual friends, Laura from My Plumbing Adventure.
Yep.
And then also Dave. Davies? Dave, or what's his handle again?
I think it's
Dave.Davies, I think it is. I can't remember exactly. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, no. And then you went to school with them.
Yeah, I went to Sheridan College with them this past semester.
That's how you bump into them, eh?
Yeah. Just a small world.
It's a tiny construction world. But yeah, I'm glad that you reached out and then get you on the show. And then I was like, yeah, for sure. I'd love to have a conversation with you, man. So
I'm glad I made it on time.
Yeah, no, you made it on time. Perfect time. You brought a guest. We have a spectator. I always like having spectators on the show. We might acknowledge her once in a while, every so often, I guess, but if something comes up, I can verify if that's true or not.
Yeah. She'll tell you. She won't hesitate.
Let me do a quick. Joe DeBruges is here. Morals Plumbing and Heating.
Correct.
Out of Parry Sound.
Yeah.
But primarily, you're a volunteer firefighter. Or second. What is it?
So, my full time job is more like plumbing.
Okay.
And then, I guess, volunteer based fire department.
It's kind of fitting, eh? Like fire and water.
Pretty much.
Isn't it? It's kind of the same, right? let me do a quick shout out. I got Adeline's hoodie on. Thank you so much. I appreciate it for sending me the swag, all kinds of swag that you sent me. So I really appreciate that. And I'm like, this show is going to be an interesting little gamut because you've got a bunch of experience on the plumbing side, also firefighting and all kinds of shit. How young are you, man?
I'm 31, but I have 14 years in the trades.
So you started young.
Yeah, I started very young.
Why'd you choose the trades?
Because I like working with my hands. And honestly, I can't sit still for a very long time.
Was everybody in your class, I mean, that would have been high school years, right? I'm just assuming more and more people are getting into the trades if they're from that area or not.
So the problem nowadays is what I'm finding, and we have a young kid that he's going in the grade 12, but he's doing his co-op with us.
Okay.
And what I noticed when I left my high school, and probably other people can contest to this throughout Canada or Ontario, is that they're taking the trades out of the schools.
Oh, they totally are doing that.
Like when I went to school, it was metal shop, automotive,
yeah,
small engines, AutoCAD, wood shop. Most of those aren't there anymore.
They're gone.
Yeah.
What I don't like is that they purposely have taken the trades out of the schools at that point, I think is a critical point in a person's career options list. And then they're using it as a political speaker box moment, saying that we need to get more people into trades. But you guys are also the same people that are responsible for taking the interest out of trades. So why should we listen to you now? Because you're using it as a media bite to get elections, get votes for the elections coming up. It's wrong. You should have never taken it out. You should have educated your guidance counselors, your teachers, and let them understand that trades has, will, and should always be an option for every person in any city. Doesn't matter if it's small town, big city, doesn't matter what country, it should always be an option. Should be there as relevant as any other career. It should always be, and let them decide. But if you take it out, how can they make a decision?
No, I totally agree with you. Like, it's crazy to think that, you know, all these kids nowadays, like, you could see it all over social media. Like, these kids just want to be influencers.
Stars.
And, you know, stars and become, you know, famous overnight, like that Hawk Tui girl, you know?
Oh, God, I hate that.
Yeah, me too. Don't even get me started.
I hate that, yeah.
But you fall into a place where, and correct me if I'm wrong, more people are retiring than people are getting into the trades.
Oh, no, it's 100% true. It's a fact. Four to one or something like that. For every four that's leaving, only one's coming in.
And it's not good.
So, like, do the math.
Like, kids nowadays, even the younger generation, you're just like, go get me this or do this. And they're just like, what do you mean? What is that? How do I use it? Or they don't have any sense of common knowledge where you would have got it through school doing these trades, because the guys that were teaching you were in the trades for years, 30, 40 years. They're in the trades and they're your teachers, and they don't have that anymore.
Here's a picture that I'd love to paint for you. How, and this was just coming across my mind the other day, where I was like, okay, at some point I'm going to finish construction on little projects that I want to do around the house, right? And I won't need my entire arsenal of tools, right? But in the back of my mind, because I have a hamster going on there and I'm constantly thinking about things, I started thinking, which tools am I going to keep just as a basic homeowner ship tool arsenal? You know what I mean?
Yep.
But then it got me thinking about, how many garages do you look into people's homes? How, when I remember being a kid, which is a long time ago, every garage has some sort of makeshift tool kind of accessory. They had a selection of power tools. They had definitely a selection of socket wrenches and all kinds of stuff like that. And then they had hand saws, maybe. They had a bunch of stuff. But when you look into people's garages today, none of them have that.
No.
Like, nobody has that. Nobody is, like, buying a set of tools just to maintain the home. And they're not doing it because homeowners don't have the knowledge to maintain their home. That's the scary part.
No, that's 100% correct. Like, up where we are, we deal with wells, septics, lake pumps, all this stuff. I've had people, especially through when COVID was going on and the housing market went stupid crazy.
Yeah.
It was funny. You'd go to a service call and these people are like, we're backed up. We're just like, okay, I understand that. Well, that's why you called us. They're just like, okay, where's the sewer system? It's just like, what sewer system? They're like, you know, the city sewer system.
These are new homeowners?
Yeah. Like, new cottage people that, like, came up, bought a cottage, and was like, yeah, I got a cottage now, but they have no clue how to run it. They're just like, where's the sewer system? It's like, you're on a septic system.
Well, what's
a
that?
What's a septic system? So you're sitting there explaining everything, and they're like, no, the problem's inside. And it's just like, no, we got to find the septic first.
Yeah.
So we dig up the septic, unclog the baffle, whatever the problem is, get them cleared. And they're just like, aren't you coming inside? No, flush a toilet. I guarantee it'll work now. Or just small things like that. Like, we're out of water. Is the city going to come? It's not the city's problem. Like, there is no city.
You're on a well.
You're in the middle of the forest. What are you talking about?
I've never done this. I've seen septic tanks be installed brand new and replaced, but I've never cracked open an existing one. What's the smell like there?
Honestly, it's not as bad as you think.
Okay, I'm just assuming. That's why.
Like, grease.
Okay.
Is the worst smelling out there.
Because it just, what, ferments or something like that? Like, I don't...
For a septic tank, like, you'd think, oh, Joel, smell like crap. Well, not really, because the bacteria inside's just...
It does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's deteriorating. Yeah. It's eating away. It's creating bacteria. When you crack the lid, you get a little bit of a smell. But it's not until you start disturbing everything is when you get the bad smell. That's why if people that are watching, they've been around honey trucks or septic pumpers.
It's similar.
When they're pumping and you get that putrid, it's because they're just stirring everything up. All the sludge that's been sitting down there for years just gets stirred up, and that's all you smell. But when you crack open, let's say, a 2-inch ABS pipe full of grease, that is the worst smell.
That's a really bad smell.
Oh, yeah.
I've never done commercial, or I know a lot of plumbers have been on the show and they love doing the service calls for commercial, for restaurants, for whatever, all kinds of stuff. And because there's great money in it, because it's like it's constant problems. Like the way it's set up and what is thrown down the drain is insane. Yes. And then what builds up is insane. And then grease traps and all kinds of stuff like that. I can only imagine what that funkiness is like.
It's not only commercial for like grease. Like you get people that think that they could just throw bacon grease, chicken grease, any type of grease down their kitchen sink, and then they wonder why it doesn't work anymore. Like I've been to places where we've had to cut out probably 15, 20 feet of pipe, and it's solid.
Just cake, okay?
Like our snake goes through it, but when you pull it back, it just collapses in on itself, and you have to replace the whole thing because they just do years of it. And the best part of these people are, you go, so have you thrown anything down there you're not supposed to?
I know what the reply is.
No, never. You know what? We're super conscious. We never do that. We always make sure no grease goes down. We put everything in the garbage. And then you show them it. They're just like, oh, well, you know, we might do it a few times. That's why, like, for me, when I do plumbing, most of it's service work. I don't like rough-ins.
No? You don't like new construction, like building it out? No?
No.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I don't like being in one spot for a long period of time. I don't like dealing with contractors that are just hounding you, saying, we have a deadline, got to do this, got to do that. I love doing service work because people are appreciative of what you do, and it's different every single day. And if you haven't run into a situation before, it's sweet because you get to troubleshoot a lot of different things.
More money though, eh, Joe? Like, is there more money in service?
Oh, there's definitely more money in service.
Yeah, than rough-ins, right? Because you're kind of limited to what the market is asking. You can charge per fixture, and that's kind of your price point. That's what it's always going to be around. It might go up a little down or whatever, but service-wise, you're supermen and women coming in, saving the day. There's a problem that's stopping our business from making money. So you need to solve this so then we can make money. So how much are you going to cost? Just tell me the number. That's it. And they don't balk at it, right?
No, because they need you right
there. They need it right away, right? That's the one thing. But it also, I'm sure that you probably come across some interesting situations.
Actually, yeah, a few good situations, especially with wells and lake pumps. Like most of the time we're trying to, you know, we're doing kind of like an electrician's job. I know some electricians that watch this might be like, well, what do you mean? Well,
you guys are sweeping floors? No,
they don't do that. What are you talking about?
They have vacuums now, but they still don't use them. They're brand new.
But no, we got to bring out our voltmeter. We got to bring out our megger. Like we have to do a whole bunch of diagnostics before we could start pulling out pumps and figuring out if we need to replace the pump or not.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. So yesterday I went to a call. My boss is just like, go to this call. They have no water. I was out there before. We did something, blah, blah, blah. Went there. And the first thing I did was go to the pressure switch, get my voltmeter out, see if I have 240 at the pressure switch. Nothing. So trace the cord back up the wall. There's an old shutoff switch with two fuses, the screw-in fuses.
Oh, okay.
So we deal old. With that too. Way up north in bumfuck Perry Sound, is like Dave would like to say.
Yeah.
We have places that have fuses and very old electrical units.
Where do you buy fuses these days? Canadian Tire, I guess, still?
Canadian Tire, Home Hardware,
okay, stuff like
that. I think even Home Depot sells them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And so I went up there. There's two 20-amp fuses. Checked the fuses with the voltmeter again to make sure that the ohms are there. Make sure it's not blown.
And?
They're not blown. Traced the cords coming into it from the panel. 240, nothing. Go back to the panel. Realize that their breakers aren't working properly. So it'll go on, but when you go to switch it off, it'll snap back.
So something shorting.
Yeah, so, well, it's nothing, I don't think it's something shorting. I think it was just the fact that they had a lightning strike close by. And I think it came back into the panel.
Surged.
Yeah, and destroyed that breaker.
Like, a lot of homeowners don't realize that those breakers have a lifespan, right?
Yeah.
And then if you cause stress on them, like a lightning storm or lightning strike or something like that, you just kill the life of that breaker now.
Pretty much, and that was pretty much all it was. So my boss came, replaced it.
Just the one breaker?
Yeah, it was a double pull 15 amp. And they had water again.
So you never pulled out a wrench to solve this problem?
Nope.
You're just pulling out meters.
Mind you, we had to go out, like, it was out on Georgian Bay. They had, like, probably 120 feet of water line out there. But due to the wind and the ice and the way the pump stand that the original guy put in, it started the pretzel.
What do you mean?
So, like, you imagine going out straight out to a lake, water line straight.
Okay.
Well, if you get wind and ice bringing it in all the time, it slowly starts to go around itself and start pretzel. So we had to go out there anyways in a boat, and I had to go swimming because they decided to put these giant concrete anchors every 20 feet on this line.
To prevent it?
To keep it down and to prevent it from moving.
Okay.
So I had to go out there, cut every one with an X-Acto knife in the water, try to straighten it out, bring it back to the dock. We take the old pump out, like, take the pump out of the pump stand. We brought our new pump stand, put the old pump in there, brought it back out, straightened out the line, and dropped it back down.
This ain't like normal plumbing.
No,
city.
And this is what amazed people in my class was the fact that I do this. And my teachers even said, you're doing this plumbing schooling backwards because you learn about pumps, curves,
yeah,
jet pumps, submersible pumps, everything like that, and septic systems in level 3.
But so you already know it.
I already know it because that's mostly
because where you grew up in.
Yeah. So that's why we went out and got our well technician class 4 license, which allows us to change pumps and wells legally. Because
how often you got to do that?
Quite often, to be honest with you.
What's the reason why you got to do it? Because they just fail over time, or
they fail over time? They get hit by lightning. Either somebody didn't put a torque arrester in there, which is, it's hard to explain what it. Torque arrester is something that goes on the pipe probably a foot to 2 feet away from the pump.
Okay.
And it keeps the pump from smacking against the sides because when that pump turns on, it has torque to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you put this rubber piece in, you cinch it so it's able to go down the well casing, but it's kind of snug. So when the pump turns on, it keeps it from moving about. So if people don't put that in and just put the pump down the well, pump will just smack against the sides. You can break a wire. You can strip a wire.
So you're damaging it regardless.
Regardless of what it is. Also, we have wells up there that are so irony that when you pull the pump up, you can literally paint with the crap that comes out of it. It comes out so orange and so thick.
I was going to just ask you about, like, the quality of the water up there. Is it better than the quality of the crap that's in the city?
Some places, yes. Some places, no.
What's dictating the yes?
It depends on where you are around our area. Like, we could tell, like, if you're from Carling, you're going to have a lot of iron in your water. But if you're from, let's say, the McKellar area, your well is not going to be too bad. You're probably going to have clear, drinkable water straight from your well.
Go ahead.
And if people just grab it from, like, let's say, Georgian Bay, you're just getting crystal clear water out of Georgian Bay. If you're pulling it out of an inland lake that's not spring-fed, there's one, Lake Manitowaving in McKellar. It's tea-colored. A lot of tannins in it, so you need a filtration system that can take all that crap out and give you clean, drinkable water.
I love it, man. This is like a travel show. and you learn all this in year three. You're like, are you telling me that every plumber that goes through the course learns this in year three? Are supposed to?
Are supposed to. They're supposed to learn at least about pumps and somewhat about septic systems. But most plumbers from the city aren't going to learn about any of this.
No.
Like the guys in my class were talking about, filtration systems one day. And I was explaining to them like what type of filtration systems are out there to do what. And they were just amazed at it. Like, my boss always told me, a rural plumber can become a city plumber, but a city plumber can't become a rural plumber.
I can totally see that, yeah, I know.
And we've had people come up from the city, plumb a place in, we get a call back a year later, or during the winter, because they froze up. Nobody knows what a heat line is. Nobody understands. Like, people in my class were like, you put heat lines around the pipe, right? No. This heat line goes inside the pipe.
So is this a city homeowner that's buying a property there and then hiring a city plumber coming here to do the work?
Yeah.
Because they don't know to hire somebody that's familiar with the area there.
Yeah, pretty much. Or they'll have a buddy that, you know, my buddy does plumbing down in the city. He said he's going to come up and help. Or my buddy's down in the city. He helped me do this. And we just look at it and it's just like, well, it's not really meant for like the winners up here or anything like that. It's just like, there's a fine line between it. I'm not saying that they don't know how to plumb. It's just, it's different north of Barrie.
Yeah, they basically know from, I guess, from the meter to the rest of the house, right?
Yeah.
They don't really get into the world of where the water is coming from, but you guys get into the whole world of where the water is coming from, because it's critical in how that water is brought into the house, right?
Yeah, and I know I mentioned it earlier. I'm not sure if you know what a megger is.
A megger?
Yeah.
No.
It's more or less like a voltmeter.
Okay.
But what it does is it tests the insulation of the wire.
Okay, so, I know. Yeah, we've used it in heated floor systems where you have to test. There's a meter that you can test the sheathing. So the durability of the sheathing.
Yes.
Yeah, so that would be encompassed in that same meter as well, which is part of ohms and the whole. Listen, it's class for me, and I literally have to read the instructions to go through it. So I can pick it up, but I haven't touched it in a while. Okay.
So like when we have a pump that's down, you can ohm it out, and it could be perfect.
But the sheathing.
But if you put the megger on it, it'll tell you that it's leaking out somewhere. There's electricity leaking out somewhere. And that's critical, especially in lake pumps, because most of these lake pumps are beside beaches that kids and people swim at. So if you have electricity leaking out into the water,
it's an issue.
Yeah. It's definitely a dangerous situation, and that's why people need to be mindful when they're changing pumps or when they're checking pumps. Do your due diligence and make sure that later on it's not going to kill somebody down the road or yourself.
So being a plumber that doesn't hop into a truck or a van but hops into a boat to do some work, it's a pain in the ass, I can imagine, depending on the time of the year as well, too. Probably nice now. The water's relatively nice and the weather's good and shit. But when it comes to the colder, which is majority of the time, how's it dealing with wildlife? Like, I can only assume that wildlife don't care that your pumps are here. They don't care that these lines are here. They don't care any of that shit.
No. For the most part, wildlife stays away from it.
Okay.
The first time in 4 years working with this company was yesterday, where I noticed that an animal actually got into, you know, the big O that people put around their foundation for water drainage and
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Well, we use that for water lines. We'll insulate the water line and then run big O over it.
Okay.
Just to keep the wind and elements off of it so it doesn't freeze during the winter.
Yeah.
Or doesn't get damaged.
Yeah.
Well, an animal chewed through a hole through that and then chewed through the wire and must have got electrocuted. But doing diagnostics and figuring things out and doing your ohms tests and all that, you figure out there is a break somewhere. So that's how we found that. But that's probably the only spot or part of wildlife that we run into. Like if you notice a bear or or a rattlesnake or something of that nature.
You guys have rattlesnakes up there?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Shoot, man. I'm surprised there's rattlesnakes in Ontario.
Oh, yeah.
Did someone bring it up from the States or what's going on there?
It's the Massasauga rattler. And actually, Parry Sound is the largest supply of anti-venom for the Massasauga rattler.
We have that many of them here?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them.
Okay, what's the funny story? Because I don't know how you can put a funny story to a snake biting somebody, I guess, but okay.
Well, you asked me other things about my life. Well, when I worked for the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry,
yeah.
Don't know if you remember, what was it, four years ago, Parry Sound 33, the big wildfire that was just...
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyways, I was on that fire. What they do is they drop you in by helicopter, you make up your base camp, and we honestly, in the M&R, love making outdoor shitters. Like, we had different designs. Anyways, went one morning, and then I look over to my left because I hear something, and I shit you not, there's a rattlesnake about a foot away from me. I looked at him, and I was just like...
Pants are down yet or not?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
I'm in shit here, so there's no getting up, no nothing. I was just like, I looked at him, I was like... You keep your business and I'll keep to mine.
Was he being defensive?
No, he
was far enough that he wasn't being defensive yet. Okay, all right.
But you could hear him rattling, but honestly, it's not the big rattlesnakes you got to worry about. It's the small rattlesnakes.
Why?
Big rattlesnakes, they know how much venom to give. So when they bite you, it'll either be just a bite or it'll be like a low dose of venom, where a younger one, a juvenile, will just give you all the venom at once. And that's the dangerous part, is the small.
And then how long do you have before you gotta get the anti-venom?
You know what? That is a good question. I'm not gonna bullshit.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
No idea either.
Crazy. So either way, it's an emergency.
Yeah, pretty much.
Doesn't matter. Just boogie to somewhere to get the, holy cow. All right, so now you're a plumber, and you're dealing with snakes, and you're dealing with... What kind of animal bit through the pipe?
Probably chipmunk or a squirrel or something like that.
What the hell was he thinking? Enough. Like, what was he thinking? Like, I'm going to bite through this. Build a house? I don't know.
My only thought was probably a home, because it had a heat line in it, so it probably stayed warm enough in the winter.
Okay, that makes sense.
And he probably wanted to make a home in there, and for some reason, they like eating wires. I don't know why. Eating wires.
To build a nest or something?
I guess so, but he learned the hard way not to eat wires.
Well, we catch that in the city all the time, where you get a mouse or whatever, they go through certain electrical boxes or the panel itself, and, you know, the carcass is there, depending on how much time it's been. It could just be bones or it could be fresh or whatever, but that shit happens all the time. But in your neck of the woods, literally, I mean, like, you got a bunch of elements, right? So you're learning all this stuff. You already knew all this stuff because you were working with the conservation, right?
Well, I was working for I only worked for the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry for 2 years doing wildland fires. It was just too much for me to get a place up in Sudbury because that was the closest base to me. People wanted 12-month contracts, and my contract only went for 5 months because it's only throughout the summer.
How stressful is that job, man? Like, you're called in when the shit's going on.
Pretty stressful. When Parry Sound 33 went on, that whole summer was stressful because you'd literally fly out. So what they do is they give you 14 days on, 2 days off.
Okay.
So if you go out to a fire and you're on it for 2 weeks, they have to fly you back to have 2 days off. And then you could go back for another 2 weeks.
I mean, you burn yourself out. No pun intended. You can burn yourself out, but I mean.
But it was a sweet job. I loved it.
Why?
Oh, man. You're in a helicopter. Oh,
I love helicopters. They're great.
Just going. These helicopter
pilots. But you're going into a fire.
Yeah. Oh. As I told you, man, I've been a volunteer firefighter for 14 years.
Yeah, but okay. I guess a house fire is somewhat controllable. You know what I mean? Depending on what point it's at. But when it comes to a forest fire, there's not much control going on there, is there?
No. Like, you can you could try to slow it down. Like if you call in the bombers to come, the water bombers, they could try to slow it down. But if you get a good enough fuel source, high enough winds, that fire will just roll. And you can hear it on the news that a fire that started out as, let's say, 14 hectares turned into 150 the next day. That's just because of wind and fuel source and how dry it is.
So was that the fire that our current government talked about that's all contributed to climate change? Or were there actually liberal MPs there igniting these fires as you guys were trying to put them out? Which is the truth?
That sounds like a last year season question, and I wasn't there that last year. But
ultimately, it was a fire because of dry bush, and it was just like, it's just hot, and that's what happens. It's got nothing to do with climate change. It's as simple as that. Like right now, the floods in Toronto were blamed on the climate change. And I'm like, I think it has a lot to do with a lot of contractors being hired to fix the system and not doing the work, but being paid to do the work. And that's how we get floods in Toronto. Because the work's not performed.
Yeah, and probably your infrastructure too. Like, it's funny. If Mother Nature was a person, your mayor would find a way to tax her over the amount of water that came down.
Not my mayor. She's not. I'm not in Toronto. No, but you're 100% right. She would. You know, I guess she didn't put that rain tax just in. And like, she missed it. She missed a huge opportunity. What did we get? Toronto got a month's worth of rain in 2 days. That's what they got, a month's worth of rain.
It was crazy.
I loved it because a lot of tradespeople that were not working, they just got a bunch of work now. Insurance calls, basements flooded from homeowners that probably hired the wrong person or did it for cheap or did it for themselves. And now there's all flooding going on. So they don't understand the basic principles of how to waterproof a basement. Simple as that. But now there's lots of work because it has to be done. Otherwise, you're going to get other bigger problems at that point, right?
Yeah. And the amount of insurance money going through, that's crazy.
It's going to affect all of us, which is the really shitty thing. Speaking of which, I'm just curious. So your life insurance must be pretty penny. Like, I mean, if you're firefighting and you're forced, no? Are you a risk? You're a risk, no? Which kind of makes no sense. You shouldn't be a risk because you know what you're doing.
I don't have life insurance as is, but there is insurance in my fire department that if something happens to me, my fiance, Hannah, will get a chunk of it, or all of it, actually.
Does she get it as a fiance, or does she have to wait until she becomes a wife?
No, you could write it on there who the money goes to.
Okay.
So I have, like, 90% of it going to her and 10% of it going to my nephew and niece for college and that, if anything were to happen to me. And then when I have kids of my own, or when we have kids of our own, we'll all divvy that up so it goes into their college fund, and she gets some of it.
Are there a lot of people getting into the volunteer firefighting business? Is there like a lineup?
Yeah, you're going to get me on a whole nother topic here.
I don't know.
So it just changed. So the Ontario Fire Marshal now requires.
Well, am I going to like this?
That every fire department needs to be certified to a certain degree.
Meaning?
So, to become a full-time firefighter, you need your NFPA level 1 and 2.
Okay.
And hazmat.
Okay.
So, now all these volunteer departments in small communities that can barely afford a fire department need to now train their guys depending on how they want to go. So, you could just be an interior attack crew, fire department that comes in, doesn't go inside, and just surrounds and drowns. Or you could be a fire department that goes in full service, goes in, saves people that needs to be, goes into the interior fire, knocks it down, does hazmat, does motor vehicle collisions, stuff like that. But it's all depending on what your department wants to do. Well, the Ontario Fire Marshal now is just like, hey, you guys need to be certified to this. You guys need to spend X amount of dollars of your own money to become certified. There used to be a college in Gravenhurst, the Ontario Fire College.
Okay.
And it used to cost pennies on the dollar to send somebody there for a week.
For the training.
To get training done.
Well, what are they asking now?
it's closed down. They closed down the Ontario Fire College in Gravenhurst. And now if you have to go to, let's say, Southwest Fire Academy or something like that.
What was the reason why they closed it down?
I can't exactly remember what it was. Okay. But it was a shame all the way around because it was easy for departments that couldn't afford to send somebody for, let's say the course is $1,000. You got to pay that. You got to pay somebody their wage to be there.
Yeah, makes sense.
You
got
to pay their travel. Yeah. You got to pay their food.
Yeah, of course.
So now instead of just spending, let's say, $100 to send them to Gravenhurst or to the college, now you're spending $1,500 to $2,000 for one person.
So who's receiving this funds to do this training that they're implementing, saying that you have to do it now? Who's getting this money?
Who's getting the money?
Is it the government?
Nobody's really getting the money. It's the municipalities are forking it out. So how we do it is all West Parry Sound District. So you have Dunchurch, McKellar, McDougall, Seguin, Parry Sound itself, Carling, and Henvey Inlet First Nations in on that. All of them, we all get together. We all have a set amount of people that we're putting through this recruitment.
Okay.
So it's their weekends, their time for a certain duration, which is 3 months, 3 to 4 months. And we have to have trainers. So I'm a trainer. Other departments have trainers. We all get together. We do all these weekend work. We do work throughout the weekends or weeknights, spend our time, try to get everything organized. We organize it all of ourselves. And there's just more or less all the departments have their own funds. So if your guys go, let's say McDougall goes for a night. McDougall pays for their guys.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Dunchurch does it. Their guys are there. So it's the municipalities that pay for it. But when we go and do it, it's our time and you're spending hours. Like I can't remember the amount of hours, but for the trainers, you have to come up with your lesson plan, implement the lesson plan, get everything organized for the lesson. And then the day of, do it. And then at the end of it, the OFM sends a guy to come, a proctor. Everybody does the written. They pass that or they fail it, doesn't matter. They go on to doing their practical. They do 3 skills or 4 skills of their practical. They pass all of it. Then they get their certification and said and done.
So has there been an increase or decrease of people doing the training as a result of the government implementing this now?
It's so you have younger people that are getting into it, and this is where the problem's going to lay. So let's say, sorry, I'm beating off the course here. Let's say Toronto Fire has 10,000 applicants.
Okay.
For 10 positions. Well, if you start going down this road, you're going to have these people that don't want to pay the $16,000 to go through for their firefighter 1 and 2, go to these volunteer departments, become a volunteer, get certified, then leave to try to go to full-time. That's how I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And these younger people getting in, yes, they're interested, they enjoy it, but all the older people that have been there since the dawn of time, that aren't certified.
They're being asked to be certified as well, too?
Yep.
Even though they don't need the certification?
Well, everybody
needs. Technically speaking.
So the OFM, way back in the day, did a grandfathering thing.
Yeah.
If you're in the service for so many years, you got grandfathered in.
They got rid of that?
Well, they haven't done it now. Now they have a thing called a legacy thing, which isn't quite the same. So you could do stuff in your own department, but if you get called on a mutual aid call, let's say McDougall goes to help McKellar, and McDougall has people that are legacied, they can't go to that call because they're not covered.
So,
wait. Sorry, it's just a weird concept and a weird way how things are going, because our department got started from volunteers.
Yeah.
Our stations got built by the volunteers themselves.
Yeah.
On their own time.
Yeah.
Their own dime, because they had to keep getting donations in and funding to build it, to get the trucks and this and that. And you have departments that are still like that, that are still trying to get donations, that municipalities aren't quite helping them. And you're expecting these people to try to get certified and try to have all this time put into it. Even the guys that have been there for 30 years. You're going to ask a guy that's been there for 30, 35 years to spend his weekends away from his family, his evenings studying.
Yeah.
Because it's not only the weekends. The weekends are for the practical. You still have to go online and do your online stuff, your book work, throughout the week. So it's just crazy.
See, I'm just trying to figure out the thought process on why they would implement this. Like, I don't understand why they would have done this, unless it's benefiting someone, financially speaking.
Probably is benefiting
someone. Because of the costs associated with every single firefighter having to do this.
But the thing is I think the way they're looking at it is that, well, if this full-time guy is going into a house and he's certified, and this volunteer is going into a house and he's not certified, I think it comes down to, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, I can't think of the word.
What?
It's coming, it's like to cover their own ass, really. For people to cover their ass.
This is just, because this is about liability?
Yeah, if somebody gets hurt, well, why weren't they certified? Well,
listen, my argument with that is that everybody has a driver's license. Doesn't make you an amazing driver.
Oh, I agree with that.
Technically, you're certified and you're able to drive on these roadways. Are you a good driver? That's questionable. There's other factors involved in that. So just being certified doesn't make you, if you're not certified and you got all these years of experience and you know how to do this, then I don't care if you're certified or not. I care about what your experience says. So there should be an experience. There should not be a certification, man.
Well, I agree with certification for full-time departments. And if you're having if you have your own in-house certifications and, you know, you meet that, that should be good enough. But to have everybody...
To go through it.
Go through it, like, that's a lot of time you're telling people to take away. And these people have full-time jobs.
This is money. Families. This is just money.
It probably is money, just like the testing to become a full-time firefighter is just money. Because you have three stages of OFAI to do, and each one of those stages costs money. And if you fail it, you got to pay money to do it
again. Start all over again.
And it's only good for 6 months.
Okay, so you don't do the forest anymore?
No.
But you're still doing the firefighting and you're doing the plumbing. Which is the first love?
Firefighting, for sure.
For sure?
Yeah, I started that when I was 17.
So are you going to get fully certified?
I did. Back in 2016, I went to Festi Fire College.
Okay.
In Mississauga.
Okay.
And I did 4 months of it, and I got fully certified. And then I went back to my volunteer position.
Oh,
sorry.
Just pull it a little closer. So I'm just trying to get an understanding of it. I'm trying to figure out. It's just, listen, Ontario, first of all, specifically Toronto, is a very corrupt place. Simple as that. People who are demanding things to get done are corrupted to get things done their way, agreed, not the right way, which is a shame. Because then all it does is, and I go back to the wood shop, I go back to the high schools. You've gotten rid of these things, and so you've gotten rid of the options to get people to come into this industry. Why are you doing that? So now you're going to get, like, this thing, I guarantee you, is probably going to get rid of a lot of potential firefighters that would have been amazing firefighters leave the industry.
Agreed. Like, you have people there that were there for 30 years that said, I'm done.
I'm being told, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm out of here. See you later, gun. I'm not going to do that. I don't need to go do that. But that's the person you would want in a firefighting situation.
Yeah, and it's somebody that's given up 30 years of their time to their township, to the people that live in that township, to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning when they get a call, when they're asleep, or to get a call at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, leave their job to go help somebody in need.
Mm-hmm.
And now that person's just like, well, I can't give up my time. I can't give up more time, so I can't do this. Sorry.
What's the most dangerous part of being a firefighter?
Dangerous part? Depends on the aspect of the job, really. Like, it depends on the situation you go into.
So if it's either a residential or a commercial application?
It's not always about fires. Like, you could go into different situations, like we were talking about earlier, like a train derailment.
Mm.
That has potentially dangerous situation.
Yeah, airborne chemicals, you're
going into a situation you don't know anything about. You don't know what's on that train. Not until you get the manifest. But unless you don't have that, you don't know what's going on.
That's if they're telling you the truth.
That's if they're telling you the truth. And it depends on weather, too. Like you're saying with forestry. If you get a good enough wind and that wind changes direction, instead of that fire going north, it goes south right back at you.
Yeah.
So you got to know your means of egress. So you got to think about all these things while you're driving from your house or your job site to the station, from the station to the call. You got to think, what are the hazards? What's going on? What's close by? Like, most of us are good because we know our area that we're responding in, so we know what's around that area. Got to know your hazards all the time, and it could change at any moment.
It's true, because it's unpredictable, right?
Yeah.
You just don't know. But a lot of people don't understand that there's so many variables there, right? What's the most dangerous thing about plumbing?
Plumbing? Like we were talking about before. Like, if there's voltage leaking out of that pump and you go to stick your hand in the water to grab that pump, you can electrocute yourself.
That hurts.
You can kill yourself.
Yeah, I know. Of course. You can heart stop, right?
So, like, yeah, I've been shocked by 115, 220.
So I'm an electrician. I can't stand that shit.
It happens every once in a while, but if you do it in the water or in a bad situation, then it's more or less game over at that point in time.
Do firefighters still smoke these days?
Some of them do, yeah.
They still smoke, yeah? Even though if they're doing the job and then they've controlled the fire, everything's done, they're coming out and light one up?
Is
it kind of contradictory to...
Not so much. Some of the older guys will do it. Some younger guys, it just depends on the situation. I think more nowadays people are more, you know, health conscious, trying to be healthy. And that's another thing.
It's a physically and mentally demanding occupation, man.
That and the trades, to be honest with you.
Yeah, both. They're both exactly the same. That's the thing about it, right?
If there's any young people watching this, go to the gym. Be healthy. Like, try to be as healthy as you can.
Because go to the gym without a tripod and a smartphone to start.
Well, that too, and stay away from Tren. I got to say, just stay away from that crap.
Stay away from what?
Tren. It's a steroid.
Oh, okay. All right.
A lot of younger kids are doing it nowadays.
Seriously?
Because they're watching these influencers get big, jacked, and they're doing steroids to try to become like their heroes, like Sam Sulek. And all those people.
Listen, I grew up on good old Arnie. I grew up on the, you know, Tom Platz, and then it's kind of sad to see Ronnie Coleman the way he's in the state he's in, right? Man. And I mean, like, it's just like bodybuilding is such an extreme. Like, you're really pushing bones and muscle to the extreme, and you have to be careful. But I told you, I mean, back in my day, it would have been creatine. Like, we were all just pumping creatine, and that's it. We knew the benefits of it and what it could do. But I think I can't imagine what's like. I have my protein whey, and that's what I have, right? And I deal with that, and that's it. But so they're all jumping on this whole, what is it? Like, it's a steroid boost or something, or it kind of gives you the effect of a steroid?
No, it is a steroid.
It is an actual steroid?
Yeah.
Needled?
Tren, you could take, I believe you could take Tren needled, or you could take Tren through a tablet.
I want people to understand something that...
And Sorry, and no. SARMs and that too. Like, there's a whole bunch of different steroids people are taking, but it's not worth it unless you're doing it competitively and you can do the cycles properly.
It's a different story.
Go ahead. But if you're just doing it because you're watching some dude on Instagram or TikTok, it's not worth it, man.
I was probably one of the first of my group of friends back in high school days. I was like, I'm sorry, man. Arnie's on roids and Stallone's on roids. They're all on roids. Simple as that, right? So, like, if you want to get to that size, but they were professionals and they were using their bodies as a means of employment. Yeah. Right. So they had to make their bodies look a certain way. And The Rock is on roids. I don't give a shit how he talks about I'm not on roids. He's on roids. I don't give you're not he, Rock's my age. He's 52 years old. Gonna be 53 soon. And I'm like, he's on roids. I don't give a shit, right? But that's how I want people. I want people to know that you want that body. There's certain and there's health risks associated with roids. Like major health risks, right?
Oh yeah. You could kill your heart, your liver, your kidneys. It's not worth it.
So it's a little scary, right? But firefighting and also trades, you're 100% right. They're both physically demanding and mentally demanding occupations, right? So it's like you have to stay fit. You have to stay healthy. You have to stay mindful of what your body is doing and what it's reacting. Otherwise, you'll get injuries. It's easy. You're in circumstances that they contribute to an injury. Like, it's easy to get a slight slip and fall on a job site. It's easy to be in the same in a firefighting situation, and you can damage something, right? And then now you're out. You're out of the game. Your physical is what's providing a living for yourself, right? So you have to be careful about that.
Yeah. Well, if anything, if anybody could take away, younger generation, just be mindful of nutrition and being physically fit.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of young people vaping, smoking cigarettes. See a lot of people in the trades. They'll just smoke cigarettes and drink Monsters. That's more or less their day.
I don't understand the energy drinks, man. I really don't. I never got into it. I never liked the taste of it. Did they just outlaw Moron there? What's his name? The brothers.
Logan Paul there?
Yeah, yeah. Those idiots, yeah. His product called?
Prime.
Prime, that's it. I thought, did they outlaw it in here in Canada or no?
No, it wasn't outlawed. Well, it was banned, the cans that they brought in originally, because it had a high caffeine content, higher than what Canada standards were. Okay. I think Canada wants to lower the standards even more. I think it's 180 milligrams right now.
Yeah, they want to move all that and put it into pesticides into our food consumption. That's what they want to do.
But I can't say much because I used to love drinking energy drinks. I don't drink them now, or at least I try not to. Like if I'm.
Why did you like them? Like, it give you the boost.
Boost and the taste of it.
Tastes like shit. Well.
Well, it depends on what flavor you get, I guess.
I'm of the day of Red Bull, right? So me, I thought Red Bull tastes like shit, and then the only reason Red Bull became huge hit was it was a Red Bull and vodka. Right, so you'd have the combination in the clubs and bars and shit like that.
Or Jaeger bombs.
Yeah, I never got into any of that shit. I would just read the ingredients on Red Bull, and I was like, I don't want any of that crap anymore, right? So I can only I haven't looked at an Energy Prime or Monster or what other ones are out there. I don't know what the ingredients are like.
Monster, Rockstar.
Rockstar, right?
Amp. You name it. There's a lot of them out there now.
And lots of tradespeople are drinking them.
Oh, yeah.
Like start of the day, that's their boost at start of the day.
That's their boost.
Mix in a smoke.
Morning, lunch, and dinner.
Really, huh? But they can get better highs by being fit, eating right. You'll be better.
You'd feel better, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Aren't there crashes with these energy drinks?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So what do they do with that then if there's a crash?
Probably drink another one. Because you got to think, most of these energy drinks have like 50 to 60 grams of sugar.
Yeah.
In a can that's like...
That's insane.
Big.
It's insane.
So you get that sugar, your body dumps insulin, you crash.
Do they realize that in another decade or two, their bodies are really going to be telling what's wrong with them now?
Probably not, because... These people are vaping and they have no clue what the outcome
is. Yeah, I don't still understand why vaping is legal in this country. Well, there's a bunch of things I don't understand why they're legal in this country. But vaping makes no sense because it's just pure chemicals going right into your system.
Well, they banned any flavored tobacco. Why didn't they ban any flavored vape?
Because the amount of money that's being made off the health benefits of vaping outweighs that. That's why.
It all comes down to the fine dollar and who can make the most.
Simple as that, right? I'm waiting for them to try to ban cigars, right? Then I'll have issues at that point, right? But they can't change cigars, right? So
no, not really.
All they can do is just import tax on it. That's all they can do. Vaping doesn't mean, but there's a bunch of shit. GMOs, I was just talking to Teresa off mic about that whole thing. We're just shaking our heads about certain things, so.
Well, it's just crazy nowadays. Like, you could leave a loaf of bread out for
almost
a month without it having an ounce of mold on it.
So, okay, so why are you so conscious? You're 31, right?
Yeah.
Why are you, and you've been in the game for a long time, so, like, how is it that you're conscious of this, that realizing that physical and mental is a huge asset to you and what you provide?
Look at the older generations.
Like, they're broken and beaten.
I pretty much, I go into Wosley Supply and I see people that are super overweight, or I see people walking in there like they need a walker. Like, at some point in time, your body says no more. And if you don't keep it up, and you're just going home, smashing a six pack, sitting on the couch, passing out, waking up and doing it all over again, sooner or later your body's just gonna say, that's it, I'm done. You enjoy the pain.
I wonder if it's gonna be Milwaukee or DeWalt that's gonna come out with a walker first.
Milwaukee, probably.
I think it's gonna be Milwaukee. I totally think it's Milwaukee. Milwaukee will come out with it first, man.
They're gonna have battery powered, so it has motorized wheels.
The wheels with a brake pad, little disc brake, so just to slow you down a little bit. That'd be pretty funny. Okay, but you're a plumber, so you're Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Firefighters, what do they use?
It depends.
There's a variety. They're
there's
not
a
loyal.
Variety of things, and okay. Most of the tools that we use can be interchanged with, like, Milwaukee or DeWalt.
Yeah. That's what I figured, right?
But I know my department is mostly DeWalt, and it's just because our deputy chief loves DeWalt. So,
but what are we talking about here? It would be quick cuts and what, like Sawzalls and
quick cuts, Sawzalls, even your heavy equipment. So your Auto X tools could all be run by batteries too.
Oh, so here's, you know what? Since I got you in the studio, battery fires.
Yes. We had one the other day, to be honest with you. Actually,
no, car or something else?
No, it was a kid, I believe, was charging one of those battery packs for an RC car.
Really?
And it just blew up.
Kid okay?
Yeah, kid's all right. It's just, I don't think the kid was in the room at the time, but the mom walked past, noticed the big white glow, said that was weird, went back, noticed that it was on fire. Threw a towel over it, closed the door, got everybody out, called the fire department. She did all the right steps, because closing the door, making sure the window was closed, and trying to smother it,
air.
She saved her whole house.
What about the cloth over it? That's a good move too.
She was trying to do her due diligence and putting something over it to try to smother the fire, but with the battery thing, you can't really do that.
What's it smell like when it catches on fire? I've never been anywhere near it, so I don't know.
Well, anything that has a whole bunch of materials that burn, like the mattress burnt, the covers burnt, the battery, it just smells rancid, and it just stays on your clothes for a long time.
So what's the proper procedure when a Tesla gets on fire, or lightning or whatever, a car?
We haven't had one of those yet, but I've seen a lot of videos.
Yeah, they stay back, right, don't they?
Well, a normal, I can't remember the gallons of water used, but a normal car you could use with one pumper truck.
Yeah.
You could take it out.
You don't even need to tie in.
Yeah, don't even need extra resources. One truck can do. These Teslas and these battery trucks, you're just constantly dumping water on them.
It just won't go out?
Won't go out. And they've had it, I think I was watching a video in the States that they had it where they have these new blankets out. Once they get it to a controllable state or somewhat out, they put this over it, this blanket, put it on the flat deck, and they'll escort with the towing company to the tow yard in case it catches fire again. Like, it takes a long time. Even if you think it's out and it goes to the tow yard, it could reignite again.
Really?
Like, I find these electric vehicles aren't our solution to anything climate-wise. No, no, no.
If you listen to the show, you know I'm not a fan of EVs at all. Never will be.
Like, we're honestly dreading the day we get an electric car fire.
Yeah, because you guys are like, it's dangerous, man. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that.
It is dangerous. And water reacts violently with magnesium and everything else. So it's just not a good solution to anything.
You figure, like, with EVs, the same way that there's certain rules with construction, and now I think in BC they're trying to implement sprinkler systems in homes, right? The insurance industry is trying to come in now. And the problem is that you're getting a lot of false activations of the sprinkler system. So then you'll have a fire that could have been taken care of with an extinguisher in the house, and now you're dousing the entire house in water, and now you got a bigger insurance problem, right? So that's where the argument is going back and forth, and it hasn't come in. But recently I was like debating with an inspector about installing, making a legal second unit dwelling in a property. And then one inspector was saying that you need a fire sprinkler head in the mechanical room, even though you had a smoke probe in either the cold air return or the heat run, so they can detect if there's smoke in one unit versus the other unit, and it would shut down the gas coming from the appliance, which is the furnace, and then you would not have gas in a fire situation to feed it. So you don't need the sprinklers just yet, but my point is, why can't, if we can design cars that have batteries, and you want to go this whole fucking route about charging batteries and using batteries and going this, I don't understand why we don't make them all solar power or shit like that. But you would figure that there's some sort of kill switch. So when you do get into a battery fire, you hit a big red button in that stupid car and it just douses everything. So you guys are not responsible for putting it out. It automatically does its own, like a sprinkler.
Well, you think with all the chemicals out there, they would have something like that. That would go through the whole battery pack.
Yeah.
And be instantly
encased in some sort of foam or something. Like, I don't know, something that's like would just put it out. I don't understand why that's not even an option there.
Probably it comes down to money. They're already expensive.
They're already stupid expensive. To put a fail switch to kill that car if it ever catches on fire, that's not worth it. I guess you're going to wait until enough people die from it.
Well, like any situation, somebody has to die in order for it to change. It's the sad truth.
Well, it's the amount of people that have to die before you can change it. There's a whole cost analysis bullshit that corporations do, which is scary as hell, man. Like,
It's like, how many people have to die before this changes? Well, our quota says about 100.
Based on the lawsuit, based on this, based on all this other crap. I know, it's kind of funny, man.
Oh, just the sad, interesting world we live in.
Back to this Sheridan College you were studying with Laura and Dave. How many kids in the class? I call them kids. I know there could be older people in there as well, but
I think we had 17.
What was the general vibe of that classroom? It was all 17. Were they all like hungry? I want to be a plumber. I really want to learn this trade. Some phoning it in.
Everybody was at the beginning.
What changed?
Well, not trying to shit on Sheridan College, but just the way that the program was run and our shop class was ran, it was one teacher that ruined it for our whole semester.
Did he used to work at Home Depot or what?
No, but as Dave knows, this guy was God's gift to plumbing. Like, God was probably his father for plumbing. Guy thought he was all that. But just in our shop class, we didn't learn anything. Like, I wanted to learn more of the rough-in scenario.
Did you have all the
we had
the ingredients? You had
we everything. Had everything needed, but we didn't have the educator to teach us.
Would you guys ask him? Can we get into this? Or
we'd ask him things, and then it's funny because I'm bringing Dave into this again. So
that's fine. He'll probably chime in too. Doesn't matter.
It was Dave, myself, and another guy named Thor. We're in one group.
Thor?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's his legitimate name?
That's his legitimate
Thor.
Name.
Thor.
Yeah. So anyways.
Asgard. All right.
We're all in the same group. And we wanted to learn more of the rough-ins. Well, Dave's done a whole bunch of rough-ins, so Dave could do it. and our teacher wasn't around, so Dave would help. And then when we would ask, teacher's just like, Dave can teach you. And Dave's just like, I'm here like them to learn. Like, are you going to give me some of your salary to teach these guys?
He said that?
Oh, yeah.
How did he respond to that one? Oh, we don't make that much money to begin with and all this other crap.
He just jokingly laughed and walked away. Well, they're up on a ladder, or Thor was up on a ladder. Dave was telling him what to do. And then Thor got down. Dave went up and started doing stuff. The teacher yelled at him and said, Dave, you're not allowed to be on the tools. You're just teaching. And Dave's just like, man, what is going on here? This is a joke. And Laura even said the same thing. Like, she went to another college for level one and then came to this one for level two and was just like, it's a totally different atmosphere. Like, it's more, like, it's not the same. She's like, you have to bring your own tools to shop class?
Seriously?
We're just like, yeah. Yeah, we all had to bring our own tools. Like, the shop supplied some of them, but they didn't supply the tools
needed. How much is the course?
I couldn't even tell you. Okay. I didn't pay for it. My company paid for it.
Okay, I was just curious how much it is, right? What other trades are they teaching at Sheridan College?
Electrical, welding, plumbing. They're getting into solar, I believe. And then there's another...
Mechanical?
Gas.
Gas.
And then they have high school students that come in that do, like, basic carpentry and all that stuff.
So, I mean, they've got a good pool. If you got 17 going into that one plumbing class, you can only assume they probably have similar amounts for the other classes. That's a lot of people. Why don't they just put the money into it?
I don't know. Like, for the level three course there, they're just like, oh, yeah, we have these cool systems. They have little cisterns made that are like well casings with submersible pumps in them. And they're just like, yeah, those don't work. We're just like, what do you mean they don't work? They're just like, yeah, they haven't fixed them yet. It's just like.
Okay, but if you're a plumbing teacher, why don't you fix it?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you guys are plumbers.
Like, am I being stupid by asking that question? You're a plumbing teacher. Fix it.
Well, it's probably like anything. It has to go out for a tender. Thing goes out for a tender. People bid on to fix it.
It's a private school, private education. It's like...
I don't know what to tell you. I can't get in... Like, I don't know the logistics of the whole situation at hand, but I just know if you're going to be teaching plumbing or teaching anything, be there for the people that you're teaching. Don't talk down to them. Don't make them feel like crap. Like...
100%.
Help them out, because people learn at different rates and speeds. Like, I kept saying, I'm dumb. That's why I'm in the trades.
No, you want to learn it. Tell me. I want to figure it out.
Yeah, it's just like, teach us. And this guy just wouldn't teach us. He kept calling us shitty resi guys. This one hero. Yeah.
Shitty what?
Resi guys.
The fuck does that mean?
Shitty residential plumbers.
No, I know, but why is he shitting on residential guys? Oh, he's a union fuck. That's why.
No, I don't even think he was union, to be honest with you. He started out, apparently his dad was a plumber. He started out with his dad.
Doesn't matter if your dad was a plumber.
This and that, but he just thought he was super, super great.
You know what I would have done? I would have, if you kept on asking all these questions about what's that? Can we use that? Can we work that? Can we do this? Can we do that? All this other. And if they kept on saying no over and over and over, I would go up to them and go, listen, based on tuition, this is what it costs, but you guys are not teaching me all these things, so I want a discount for all these things you're not teaching me on. So can I get my refund, please?
Well, you'll laugh at this. Common sense, right? It is common sense. We did ask that. We're just like, well, do we get our money back?
You're not teaching us.
And Dave kept saying, When do I get some of your pay? Like, come on, pay me for teaching these people. And then by like the last 2-3 weeks of it, nobody was interested in shop class.
What was he doing? Was he trying to figure out to tie his apron from the back or in the front? Was one string longer than the other? Like, what was he doing? I don't understand.
He was on his computer looking up truck parts.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, and not only that was, so all the other schools are doing the Ontario code.
And you guys are doing?
Alberta.
Why?
Because they're saying that the Alberta curriculum is coming into effect in Ontario.
It's not in effect, though.
I know. And that's what I said. I was like...
So when you get on a job site with an inspector, he won't give a shit about the Ontario code.
No, because...
Or Alberta code.
No, not at all. And they're teaching us this. And we had one good teacher that took his time out of his own day, not getting paid for it, to go through these modules we had to pay for. And they were expensive. And I'll tell you, the first level, they tried to get us to buy these modules. We didn't. And we never went through anything to do with the modules. Second year, we had to buy them again for level two. But this one teacher went through all the module, took out everything Alberta, kept everything that would be associated with Ontario still in there. But he tried his hardest to not teach us that and to keep teaching us the Ontario. And you say somebody's being handed money here.
Mm.
That was a situation where this school is getting paid to put out this Alberta stuff. Because none of it was in effect. None of our teachers knew for the first month. We're only there for 2 months. For the first month, they're going back and forth saying, we're going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're going to do it. We're not going to do it. And all of us are just confused. We're like,
how much were the modules? What are they charging? Remember?
$300.
For each one?
Yeah. It was like, well, all the modules came in a set.
Yeah.
So you had everything you needed.
So the whole set is $300.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But that's $300. You're telling people that aren't working, that already paid their tuition, to fork out.
That's bullshit.
And it's not like you could sell them afterwards because no other college is doing it. I even asked their teachers. I was like, is George Brown doing this?
No.
They're like, no, they're still in Ontario. Now, why is George Brown is like the leading in the trades colleges? If they're not doing it, why are you? Why are you trying to venture off of something if the main trade college isn't doing it themselves?
What's the difference in the Alberta code versus the Ontario code?
The
Alberta code is probably closer to the national code.
So every change, I think it's every change of direction, there's a clean out.
Really?
Yeah. There's
wow, that's a waste.
What else is there? You could put double TYs on their backs. There's a whole bunch of crap that was just like didn't have anything to do with the Ontario code, but because they could do it on Alberta, it was in our Alberta book.
So when you were writing a test,
I wish I brought them in for you. I'd just be
curious to look at, but I'm curious, like when you're writing a test, is the right answer Alberta or Ontario?
See, that's what fucked us up, to be brutally honest. Like most of us, some of us did good on the test. Some of us didn't do good because we're learning two different ways.
Yeah, two cones.
And we had our one teacher that tried to teach us Ontario and God Plumber there trying to teach us Alberta and God Plumber shitting on the other teacher every single day in front of us. And we're just like, dude, what is going on? How don't you guys have your shit together? Because level one, I kind of understood. It was new. Something new got brought in. Not all the puzzle pieces were put together. But level two, it was the same shit. And the guys that I went to level one with were just like, what is going on?
Was Laura the only girl there?
Nope. We had another girl in our class.
So two girls for the 17?
Yeah.
So 15 guys, two girls. It's relatively about the national average. Yeah, I'm just curious.
Like, I wish more females should get into the trades.
Yeah, totally.
Like, everybody that is hands-on, can think fast and on their feet should get into the trades.
They're interested in doing the trades. Let them do the trades. Simple as that. Like, there's plenty of work for everybody.
Like, it's something that will never die. And where I am up north, like, we're in need of people.
It's challenging, man. Yeah.
And I know down here, most of it's unionized. Up where I am, nothing's unionized. There's no unions up there. Like, sure, you get paid less than a union person would, but you're always guaranteed work up there.
So up there, what do you? What's the average fixture rate up there? An average service call? I'm curious.
Fixture rate? I couldn't tell you.
Because you don't dabble into the rough end.
I
haven't spoken to a plumber in a while, but I think it's like here in Toronto, you're probably looking at any. The low end would be 900. High end would be 1200 per fixture. Right, that's ballparking it. All you plumbers could freak out and send me a message. I don't care, but service call wise, what are you like, 150, 200 bucks?
No, we're 145 for two guys.
Okay,
and there's a $50 truck charge involved with that.
Okay, so yeah, it's reasonable.
So,
and then depending on the scope,
and that's pretty much on the high side. There's other companies around our area that are less for two guys.
What's the boat charge if you got to jump into a boat? Go for a swim.
I think it's a little bit more because it's a little bit more dangerous. Like if I have to do a boat ride out to an island, like we can go on like a 30 to 40 minute boat ride.
Oh, wow.
Out onto an island to do something. Like I think it's a little bit more than that just because of the hazards. It's a different hazard being on the water than it is just driving a van around.
Of course, yeah.
So it's not crazy expensive, but it's just a little bit more than the 145 an hour.
I'm actually surprised that Milwaukee hasn't done swim trucks, right? We could do some swim trucks. They'll tell you. It'd be like Superman pants, man. Superman underwear or something.
Either that, life jacket, snorkel, the whole thing.
That brings up a whole Ministry of Labor other detail, eh? Like if an inspector shows up and you're doing a service call on a lake, what were the rules there? I have no idea what those rules would be. Like, are there Ministry of Labor rules when it comes to you guys as a tradesperson getting into the water to take care of some servicing on pumps and things like that?
You know what? Truthfully, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm asking. I just assume that if there ain't no about hard hats and safety goggles and shit, like, they're going to be.
Like, there's probably something out there.
Has to be.
I don't know what that is. Like, I've done various jobs. Like, I more or less worked most of my life out on the water, doing barging, heavy equipment, home and cottage maintenance, stuff like that. I've done out on Georgian Bay, the Point of Barrel area, or the south channel of Georgian Bay and Parry Sound. But there's situations where you can't wear your boots in the water. Like,
no.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I mean, right? That's why I'm going back to Milwaukee swim trunks, right? Like they'll probably be approved by the MOL. I don't know. I could already picture the influencers going on that one. It doesn't matter at that point. But how'd you find working with these guys? How'd you find them or how'd you connect with Morrow?
Funny enough, I quit a landscaping company.
Oh, so
after I left the Ministry of Natural Resources, I got a job doing landscaping and heavy equipment.
So I'm trying to get the timeline here, Darth Vader. I'm trying to figure out. So like 14, you're doing firefighting. No. What were you doing at 14? 15.
At 15 years old?
Yeah.
15 years old, I was. I think I started out pumping gas at a full serve gas station.
But the firefighting you've been doing for 15 years.
No, 14 years.
14 years.
This September will be my 14th.
So at 17, you were doing that. You started there.
Yeah. And that then, started as a co-op in high school.
And then the hardscaping, the landscaping, when did you do that?
Oh, man. Landscaping, I kind of did with two companies. One was the barging company out of Georgia Bay. The other one was more or less a mainland deal. Those two timelines were different. I think it was around 2013, 2014, I did the barging out on Georgian Bay. 2019, 2020 is when I did kind of landscaping, but I didn't do it for long. And then I went into plumbing after that. But, like, I've worked for a big carpentry company in Muskoka, Tamarack Limited.
Mm-hmm.
They just work on multi-million dollar homes. Cottages.
Were you doing the finished trim?
I was a laborer there.
Okay.
And then I just didn't like being on a job site for months on end.
Like going some people like it, some people don't like it.
Yeah, going on the same job site for months on end wasn't my cup of tea. But my brother, he's a licensed carpenter. He worked for Tamarack for 7 years. he enjoyed it. Then he got sick, so he couldn't do it anymore. And now he's just doing his own thing. But he enjoys doing carpentry and doing the trim and everything like that.
It's like you set up all the tools. You set up your little mobile shop. And
yep, pretty much. He has his trailer, has all his tools in it.
Yeah.
Does Serenity. What he needs.
Serenity saws. That's all.
For me, I got my Milwaukee backpack with like 60 pounds worth of tools inside. And I go do my service calls.
No pack out on wheels? No?
I do have a pack out on wheels, but it stays in the van.
Yeah, it makes sense. Here's a question for you, Joe. I'm just curious. If we were to bring back shop, would you see a bigger benefit if you brought back the education of trades? Not necessarily the shop class, but the education of trades. If it's introduced all through the early years of education, so the grade school years leading up to high school, or would there be a better benefit if you put it in the high school years?
Better benefit for high school years, but bring back shop. Like, it's all about hands-on, right? You have kids that they can't pay attention in class. They fiddle around with like the fidget spinners.
More liability with power tools, man.
But that's the thing, is they need their hands on something and they need to think about it.
They would be looking for their iPhone holder on the tool. Well, where does the iPhone go, sir?
That's what I enjoy about, I think what's coming up next is they're trying to ban kids from using their phones at school. I think they're trying to
start
that.
That's a good move.
Which is great because, yeah, we're living in a 15-second generation. If they don't like what they see in 15 seconds, they do something else. Or they don't like that in 15 seconds, they go to another thing. And you know what? With the trades...
Can't be that way.
You can't be that way, but you have something to take your mind off of it. You're not sitting there in class like this, just staring at a screen. Or... listening to a teacher, you're actually going out there, you're cutting, you're putting things together, you're seeing what you had in your mind put from paper into an actual project.
The other problem that we have, and I've only met one high school trade teacher, and he's really good, Derek is what I'm talking about. He's been on the show before. It's if we bring it back into high schools, I don't think we can find the people to teach. I think you're going to get a lot of these monkeys, like the God Complex guy from Sheridan, where they're going to be appointed by the government. And the government has no business in teaching anything about construction because they've never been in construction. So it's like, okay, fine, let's bring it back into high schools, but who's going to teach it?
You know what? I agree with you there.
It's a big problem, right? You can't go to Home Depot and start hiring all the guys with gray hair in it. Because they won't care to teach. They won't give a shit. They're at Home Depot for a reason. Still trying to figure out if the lace goes in the back or the front, right? And that's what I'm joking about. But that's a big problem.
It is a big problem. And if you keep this up where people aren't going into the trades fast enough and you bring it back 10 years down the road, yeah, you're going to find that situation. Who are you going to get to teach it? The guy that did carpentry for 2 years? The guy that put together cars for 2 years, the guy that did plumbing for 2 years, like, you're not going to get the same education as you would have.
I think the first thing you have to do to attract more people into trades, and that includes the actual student and also the teacher, is you have to market the trades differently than it's marketed right now. Right now, trades are being heavily marketed by three letters, DEI, right? Diversity, bullshit. And you should be marketing it to everybody. Simple as that. Every single person. And it should be clever marketing when it comes to it. So, I mean, like, you should be thinking about ways to make the industry extremely attractive for people to want to get into this industry. And I think that you have to start there, right? But I don't see, I go back to the government, they don't know how to do that. They just know those three letters. So they want to market to those three letters. And those three letters, they have some business in the industry, but they don't have 99.99% in the industry. They don't. So you should really not ignore the bulk of the industry and start attracting more people.
That I agree with. And that you try to get these younger kids into a laborish job. Dig me a 6-foot hole.
They complain.
They don't want to do it.
It's too hot, too cold, too dirty, too heavy.
Exactly. Then you have people like us that had those jobs when you first got into it. And you're just like, you have to do it. You have to dig that hole. Don't ask questions. Don't ask me a million times, oh, can I take a break? Can it's too hot. I don't want to do it anymore. Can I do something else? It's just like, no, dig the hole. Because honestly, we had to do it when we were at your stage. Your generation needs to learn, work hard. It'll give you your personality later on. Like if you asked me when I was 17, would I do it all over again and just choose plumbing? I'd probably tell you no. I'd probably tell you I would want to do every job I did exactly the way I did it.
Because it made you who you are.
It made me who I was. I got to learn different things. I busted my ass. And I'm the man you see in front of you because of it. But these kids nowadays, just they're not going to have that at their back door. They're not going to have it growing up.
Here's a question for you, Joe. That kid of today digging that hole, would they ask if that hole is for them at the beginning, middle, or the end of digging that hole? Because my generation would ask at the beginning. You're digging a 6-foot hole, right?
Yeah.
I don't think they would think that hole's not for me, is it? Like, it's a joke, right? That's how we treated that. Like, it's just, it's work and you get the work done. Simple as that, right? There's a purpose behind that hole and having to do this work. Sure, your hands are going to be raw. That's why there's gloves. Yep. There's also a way to dig efficiently. So you need the proper boots on, proper workwear on.
The proper shovel.
And then you also need a proper pace. It's not a race. It's a marathon, right? So, like, I've always been impressed since my day one in construction, seeing elderly tradespeople handle really hard physical labor because they know how to maintain the work. You know what I mean? They don't go running hard in the very beginning and then burn themselves out. They know what the entire task of the scope is, and then they handle it. They take care of it. Then they get to the end, no problem, right?
And they know how to lift things. They know how to, they've been there. They've done it. They know how to do it. And yeah, a lot of, like, I have a guy that I work with, I think he's 21, and I forget what it was. I took something out of the van, threw it on my shoulder, threw it in the bin. He's like, how did you lift that up? I was just like, you just learn over time what the balancing point is. And once you find that, you could easily just throw it on your shoulder and throw it out.
Try telling that to a kid today that instead of carrying one bucket, you carry two so you can balance yourself. It's a lot harder to carry one heavy bucket of something versus carrying two buckets of something.
And it's more strain on your body.
We got to do the 12 questions, Joe.
All right.
Ready for this?
Yeah.
Joe DeBruge, Morrow's Plumbing and Heating. If there's a fire, call him. what's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Get her done or take her easy.
Kind of yin yang. What is your least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool would be the core drill. Because if you hit something, that thing will either knock you out or break something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I can feel it right now. what do you miss from your childhood?
Being young.
What construction sound do you love?
Love the sound of a drain releasing when you bust through it. The glurping.
Favorite beverage?
White claws. There's no law with the claw.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Turns me on is the satisfaction of getting a job done and doing it professionally. What turns me off about it is it being disorganized. If I go to a disorganized job and don't have everything I need.
I hate walking over shit, eh? Like, I just hate it. It's organized shit. Favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Favorite vehicle in the entire world? Any mode of transportation?
1967 Chevrolet Impala.
Mm,
That's nice. What color?
Black. Supernatural.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that one. They don't make that shit anymore, eh? They make shit now. I'm not into hypercars, so I never got into that world. No, I'm a muscle guy.
They make things that if one thing breaks, you have to tear the whole car apart in order to fix it.
I know. You remember the times when you open up the hood and everything is right there. Everything is right there. You didn't need a convenience store mirror to see everything. Everything is right there.
Those were the days.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day? What else are you going to do? What else do you want to do? Teach. You can teach Sheridan. Teach at Sheridan. I think there's an opening soon.
I wouldn't mind teaching, to be honest with you.
Eventually comes. Don't worry. Every tradesperson becomes a teacher.
That's probably it, teaching.
Yeah? Trades?
Probably, yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Probably gynecologist. See a lot of nasty cunts.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
When he looks at the sheet and says, this can't be right. Shouldn't be here.
Joe, thanks so much, man, for making the trek. And I'm so glad to meet you. And I'm glad that we connected through Laura and Dave there. And all the best, man. Please stay in touch. And I'm sure there's going to be more stories coming down the pipe.
Oh, there's always
all
more
kinds
stories.
Of shit. Eh? Like, there's all kinds of stuff. Every tradesperson's got stories. They're always being written. So that's what I like about it.
I know. Different every day.
That's it. Thanks. Say hi to everybody. Well, when was the last time you saw Laura, Dave, or you just talked to them on social media DM once?
I talked to them every once in a while. Laura was supposed to come to my Stag and Doe, so was Dave, but they're busy. So I think the last time I saw them was the last day of our schooling.
When are you guys getting married?
October 5th.
Okay. Here? Or somewhere else? You guys are going someplace else to do
that? There's a golf course by Perry Sound, Seguin Valley Golf Course, and we're getting married there.
Okay. Nice. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you very much. And thank you for letting me be on the show.
No, thanks for the invite. So, thank you. That's it. We're out of here, Angelina.